When a windstorm strikes, the insurance companies call it an act of God. Is that merely a figure of speech? After all, God is love. Therefore, God would not kill and injure people with hurricanes and tornadoes. Yet, despite this seeming contradiction in our view of God's nature, we are now experiencing a remarkable increase in the frequency and the severity of windstorms of all kinds. Along with this increase in windstorms, we are seeing an increase in the frequency and severity of rainstorms and floods. To understand what is causing this wild, violent weather, we first have to understand the jet stream, which is the flow of air that constantly circles around the globe. The jet stream is a continuous loop of air swirling eastward, horizontally cycling the globe. Lately, there has emerged a mysterious force, swooping down from the northern hemisphere, periodically yanking the jet stream off of its smooth easterly course and causing the jet stream to repeatedly drop troughs of Canadian air masses southward across the northern hemisphere. On the map, the outline of these multiple troughs is shaped like the letter W across the United States. Frigid northern air is rapidly pulled southward to collide sharply and explosively into existing warm air masses. Within the vertex of two U-shaped troughs, warm air is sucked up from the south. It's like pouring cold water into a hot frying pan. The result is all sorts of bizarre and violent weather reactions. Lightning storms, torrential rainstorms with consequent flooding, windstorms, tornadoes, and hurricanes, temperatures swinging wildly from warm to cold and cold to warm in one day or less. What is the genesis of this mysterious force pushing down from the northern hemisphere, causing the jet stream to ripple south and north like the cracking of a bullwhip? Each week on this program, Planet X in Bible Prophecy, we will explore beyond the Earth's stratosphere to discover the cause of these perilous weather phenomena and the earth-shaking geological phenomena that accompanies these windstorms, lightning storms, rainstorms, and yo-yo-like temperature swings.
Particular day, the atmosphere is very warm at low levels, and a lot of moisture had come in from the Gulf of Mexico.
Sensing something big is brewing, meteorologist Michael Bickerstaff checks his Doppler radar equipment at nearby Texas A&M University.
We had much cooler air at mid-level, and so if you have cool air above warm air, the potential for explosive cloud development was there, like a stick of dynamite.
Bickerstaff goes to alert graduate students who videotape storms.
We gotta get south, and we gotta get south fast.
By the time they hit the road, thunderstorms have grown into powerful supercells, rotating storms that can spawn violent tornadoes.
One, and another one.
Not far away, another family is also rolling tape on the storm as a monstrous funnel drops from the sky.
That's not too far off, all that.
Swirling earth is sucked up to complete the tornado.
I tell you what, that sucker's coming this way.
A twister's destructive power is measured on what's called the Fujita scale, from F0 to F5.
Oh my God, it's a wrench. This thing is huge.
F5 tornado has wind speeds of more than 260 miles per hour. It can rip the concrete or asphalt off the roads. It's essentially a giant vacuum cleaner.
Kids, it's coming toward our house.
LaDonna Peterson watches the F5 approach. She has no storm cellar to run to.
Just this huge, massive black cloud coming at us. And it was so wide that, from what I can see, just by looking dead ahead, that's all I could see.
LaDonna's husband, Donnie, hears about the twister on the radio.
I started heading home as fast as I could. I could see a big black tornado, you know, close to Gerald. I mean, monster.
As Donnie hurries home, the tornado is barreling toward his family.
I just started hollering at the kids and my mother-in-law, telling them to get in the bathroom, get in the tub, and I pulled all the six cushions off and took them in the bathroom with them. The lights started flickering. Then I saw the tin being ripped off the back of the roof of the barn. And that's when I covered my head. And then the bathroom door flew open. I remember thinking, you know, God, please don't take my son. Don't take my family. Don't let me live if they are gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's right on, girl.
The F5 moves on. LaDonna's home is obliterated.
When I finally was able to look around, it was like a war zone out here. I mean, it looked like someone had just dropped a bomb and just wiped everything out.
Donnie finds his family, but not his town.
All the asphalt was gone. On the road I was on, there's trucks we've never found. I mean, I've never in my life seen anything like this.
All the trees were gone. All the buildings were gone. All the fences were gone. It sucked the grass out of the ground.
The F5 dissipates. It's the last from this supercell. But another supercell will take its place. 25 miles away, Jay Turney steps outside the supermarket where he works. Jay hasn't heard about the tornadoes.
And there was a charge in the air. I think everybody knew that something was going to happen.
But exactly what, no one knows.
We have no way of getting a warning because we're a business. We don't sit and watch TV.
Supermarket manager Larry Foray doesn't know anything until he spots a funnel dropping down.
And it was real thin, like a pencil type deal, and it looks like it was so far up in the sky. And I thought that something might happen, but not tornado-wise.
There was this Cedar Park police officer coming up, and Larry was coming back in, and he said, we need to get everybody inside, and he was grabbing customers and pulling them back inside. Larry said, tell everybody to stay in the store, I mean, the center of the store, so we can show them where the meat cooler is. He went and started grabbing customers and going to the center of the store for where the meat cooler was.
The meat cooler is a solid room, and there's nothing overhead if, you know, if the roof were to come down. The thing went through my head was just trying to get everybody safe.
Jay Turney doesn't make it to safety.
When it hit, I was running. I was running as hard as I could to the meat cooler because that's where I really wanted to be. I was scared. I remember a sound like an explosion. And I curled up into a fetal position covering my head.
Everybody was screaming and hollering. Most of those people never ever experienced anything like this, and nobody knew what was going to happen. I think a lot of people thought that they were probably going to die.
Then everything goes still.
My thoughts were, I'll be damned, I didn't die.
The tornado has split the supermarket down the middle.
There were wires everywhere. There were 6 inches of water on the floor as well.
Jay Turney finds his survival a miracle.
The power of nature is just pure God. And whatever he wants to do is what he's going to do. He can't stop it.
The supercell thunderstorm that spawned this tornado continues southwest, still packing tremendous energy. It approaches a densely populated subdivision.
No idea what was coming. For one living American prophet, our near future will stand as a test. His visions are of a nightmare time when an angry Mother Earth passes judgment upon us. John Running Deer is a man caught between two worlds. A resident of Long Island, New York, he is a Native American who carries on the age-old mystic tradition of the Shinnecock Tribe Oracle. But John is also a modern man. He works in the aerospace industry and flies for the Civil Air Patrol. Over the last few years, John has combined the predictions of the prophets Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce with the teachings of Shinnecock elders and images of a future world that have been revealed to him through his spirit guides.
Everyone does or has spirits who watch over them. And it's these spirits that guide us and tell us things that we need to know.
Recently, John Running Deer experienced a premonition of a continent vastly altered by natural forces. Traditionally, the Shinnecock don't discuss their spiritual affairs, but John felt compelled to share his urgent warning.
You are going to be seeing horrendous storms. They started last year. They will increase in magnitude and frequency for the next 4 years. Those are the cleansing storms that will be cleaning the earth, getting ready for the bigger changes that are coming.
John has deciphered this vision to be a critical warning from the world of the spirits.
The spirit world telling puny man it's time to start paying attention to what we're telling you. We as people have not learned to live together peacefully. We have not learned to live together in harmony with the earth. Therefore, this continent of ours has to be cleansed. If you pay attention to the things around you, you can survive these changes.
With guidance from the spirit world, John Running Deer has produced an atlas that depicts a North America drastically altered by violent forces. But John's not alone in forecasting geological transformation. Futurists Laurie Toy and Gordon Michael Scallion have both predicted traumatic earth changes in the United States landmass that bear an eerie similarity. In each person's map, the West Coast is lost to ocean, the Mississippi floods, and the East Coast is dramatically altered.
The coastal areas will be changed dramatically. The West Coast, because of earthquakes and landmass losses. The East Coast, partially to earthquakes, a great deal to floods. Once the earthquakes happen in California, the only thing that will be left of the entire San Francisco area on the West Coast will be the north end of the Golden Gate Bridge. What will be left of it will be the north end with the cables hanging down in the water like the arms of an outstretched robot.
Prior to the earthquakes, John foresees violent volcanoes erupting in the northwest.
Before the major quakes happen, there will be more volcanic eruptions in the northwest. So I feel that Mount Rainier will erupt. And it will be probably in the spring of next year or the following year during heavy rains, much the same way as Mount St. Helens did.
According to John, his spirit guide forecasts the onslaught of level 6 hurricanes that will deluge, then drown the great city of New York.
These I've seen through information given to me by my guides, that it will not only be the winds that will destroy much of the city's areas, but it will be the massive amount of water. The water will drive. There are areas, one area in particular, one building in particular on 42nd Street across from the public library. It has a concave front. If that building is not evacuated, the storm, the water itself will crash through the glass windows and flood the lower floors, flooding and stopping the elevators, and many, many people will be hurt or killed.
If all of John's visions come true, these storms may mark the beginning of what Native Americans call the Great Purification.
New York City will eventually be destroyed by a massive tidal wave, which will take out the city and most of Western Long Island and the Jersey Shore. and the East Coast and parts of the country will start to become a series of islands.
It's human nature to hope for the best, but when terrible things happen, the first question always asked is, why?
Since we cannot learn to live together, then we're going to have to learn to live together in small areas such as the islands. And maybe when we learn to live together better in peace, then we'll get this landmass to come back to us.
John claims spirits speak to everyone, but most fail to listen.
There will always be warnings to every major change that is coming. The best protection is to move anywhere up into the mountains and across into most of Texas, most of Montana. I would stay away from the plain states where they had the great floods last year. I would stay out of the Dakotas in the central section because I strongly feel that lakes will form up in that area.
John contends the warnings of the spirits are conditional. If we pay attention, tragedy could be avoided.
If you live in those areas and you see these changes coming, then take the hint and get out and move to safer areas. Because if I'm right, you could be lost. If I'm not right, then you have nothing to worry about.
Scattered across the villages of Central America, a race of prophets has existed for over 2,000 years. Their predictions seem to have been strangely accurate. They have seen our generation of mankind hurtling to what may be catastrophe. Reportedly, their calendar marks the precise day of our destruction.
The end of time is near, says the ancient wisdom of the Mayans. Anthropologist Barbara Tedlock.
On December 21st, which is the winter solstice in the year 2012, the Maya have prophesied in their books that go back to the first century BC that there will be a change, a very large change. We will enter the fifth age.
The fifth age may mark the end of history. It's the final cycle of a pattern the Mayans believe is repeated throughout the eons and terminates in the year 2012. Anthropologist Dennis Tedlock.
What happens in each of the Maya creations and destructions of the world is that lots of the beings that belong to the previous world survive. They go on living, and they serve as a sign to the next people who come along of what happened to those who forgot the calendar.
The Mayan calendar is rooted in historical events. As each cycle of time repeats, happenings of the past serve as omens of the future. Author Scott Peterson.
Calendar priests would record the important events of their time on long books made of papyrus. That was the way that they could then predict what would happen, let's say, 400 years in the future. They would look at what happened 400 years in the past and use that as a guide to the future.
Some consider the ancient Mayan calendar the most accurate ever devised. And unlike ours, which concentrates on holidays and phases of the moon from here to eternity, the Mayan calendar has a final date. December the 21st in the year 2012. A day that just might be the last day of our world.
There was winds over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, this storm was incredible, and what happened is Saturday night I sat down at my have two Sun workstations, they're engineering stations, and that's what I used to study the weather. I go into the satellites, and I did my usual about 10 in the evening Central time, pulled the weather up, and I looked and I said, "Holy cow, what is this?" And I called a few people and I said, "I don't know what's going on. We're still going off the charts. This is a huge spike of protons that we're just experiencing, and something big is about to happen."
Now, one of the things you may have noticed, ladies and gentlemen, if you watch television, is the fact that we've had numerous eruptions from volcanoes, hundreds and hundreds of people played, and earthquakes all over the world.
Yeah, at the time, the tornadoes were roaring through the countryside over those that hit.
Yeah.
We had something like 70 earthquakes also.
Just
scattered around the globe. 22 of them were sizable.
And this happens in a matter of hours, ladies and gentlemen. We had the killer tornadoes come through. How many people did that kill? 15 or 20 people? Or?
Well, the death toll has really been underestimated, or stated, I should say. There's, I would say, probably total 150, because they don't compete people.
Well, there's people missing it. There's one called Mossy Grove, Tennessee, that is completely blown away. They were dead, but they can't find the rest of the people in the town.
So they don't consider them dead. They don't go on at all. The damage destruction is being very underreported, as is the case with the earthquakes.
You were telling us about the solar flares and so forth and the weather conditions. We've had winds of over 100 mile an hour hit the earth in different places around the globe. We've had hundreds, literally hundreds of volcano act, or not volcano, but seismographic earthquakes. I was looking at a picture the other day, I forget where it was at, that left about a 4 or 5 foot gap left in the earth about 12 miles long. And where we're going with this, I guess, is this. How does this affect us? What are we doing? What can we do with it? Is the information available? Can we all use it? And if so, how?
Well, there's a number of factors, and since last May, as you know, I've been saying, obviously, our sun is way out of line with normality. And the sun just doesn't do this by itself. The bottom line is that the solar model that is produced by our standard science, so to speak, the NASA people that say that the sun's energy comes from its core, that's totally incorrect. The sun's energy is coming up from the surface, and it's very much affected by external factors, and it's obviously reacting to something big that's entering our solar system. And so the overriding effect is that something big is affecting the sun. We are not able to see it yet. My guess is that it is in a very strange location, what I call the blind spot of Earth. It's off the South Pole and only visible in the month of May. And this is actually due to NASA internal documents, where in 1991, a guy named Robert Harrington actually was observing this object. And it's inbound into the solar system, and we don't know much about it other than NASA is very closed-lipped about it.
These things were specifically prophesied 2,000 years ago, and we see them coming true now.
The Bible was written a long time ago. Within its pages may lie a description of a terrible future, a time of judgment and tribulation that some believe is almost upon us. Just how close and how severe that future will be is hard to tell. However, there's a name given to this ominous event. The 3 days of darkness. For over 2,000 years, biblical prophecy appears to have been accurate. In the 20th century, a series of momentous events has occurred. Events the Bible long ago warned would one day come to pass.
Knows that this is the end time.
Of the end times, biblical scholars offer several interpretations. Writer Gary Stearman.
It tells us that we are living in a particular time period, a time in which believers in Scripture are urged to be especially watchful. Because, as Jesus said to his own disciples, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
Exactly what signs will usher in this time of tribulation for now remain a mystery. But some interpretations of the Bible may yield clues. Author Joanna Michelson.
No one single event can really pinpoint the fact that it's the end times. But now, for the first time, we have the capability to bring about what the book of Revelation speaks about massive global destruction.
The Bible appears to paint a picture of our modern world, complete with details that conform to current technology. The Bible may provide vivid imagery that suggests a 21st century at risk from technological dangers.
Revelation chapter 8. It says that something like a burning meteor hits the earth and destroys a third of all mankind, that it poisons a third of all fresh water. It burns up a third of all trees.
The loss of one-third of life on land and sea may sound sudden and catastrophic, but many interpretations of the Bible warn that the end times may involve a slow period known as the 3 days of darkness. This metaphor could refer to nuclear winter, the greenhouse effect, or merely a prolonged eclipse. Whichever it is, some believe that men and women will need to seek refuge from vile judgments, so-called because these biblical judgments pour down upon us as if from a vial. Author Salem Kurban.
The first vial judgment, boils on the skin will erupt on people throughout the earth. Where these boils come from or why they erupt, it could be from the water they drink, it could be from the pollution.
In another vial judgment, some interpretations of Scripture envision massive pollution poisoning the world's ocean and killing the creatures of the deep. The environmental crisis then literally rises to the heavens, attacking what we now call the ozone layer. Yet another vial judgment follows.
The sun becomes so hot because of the ozone layer that it will scorch all mankind.
Revelation chapter 16 tells us that during this great tribulation period, men are going to be burned by the sun.
As the biblical 3 days of darkness continues on its course of prophesied chastisements and tribulations, the blistering sun may give way to even more fearful judgments.
The earth is finally plunged into darkness. As earthquakes occur around the world, and cities are destroyed and they're knocked down in many cases by 100-pound hailstones.
If the 3 days of darkness is indeed manifested upon the earth, it may come about for a reason.
How did man get in the terrible situation in which he finds himself? An article of Christian faith is that humanity is fallen in nature. That is, man is somehow bent. He is somehow less than perfect. And the help that he needs to become whole again is the pattern of redemption. And the purpose of that will be to wipe out wickedness on the planet and to reestablish some kind of order.
A husband and wife living in Texas take the warnings implied in the Bible of 3 days of darkness with deadly seriousness. And they plan to survive and help others to survive too.
Byron Kirkwood is rehearsing for what he believes will be a time of upheaval, a time when all normal lines of communication are disrupted and maybe only ham radios link the survivors. Byron and his wife Annie believe that our planet is headed for a biblical event not unlike the 3 days of darkness. They feel that survival may require preparation. Operating from their home in suburban Texas, they have built a mail order business offering survival supplies and information.
All I've done is try to pull together the information provided by other sources, including the predictions of Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, and psychics and prophet like this, try to paint a picture of what may happen so that we can physically prepare for this.
Although these prophets appear to share a vision of the near future, they differ on the exact form it will take.
There's no predictions that say that any place will be completely safe. Between now and the end of the century, we'll have increasingly large storms, tornadoes, earthquakes, mudslides, forest fires, many of those same things that you can open a newspaper or turn on the news on the TV and hear that are going on now.
The Kirkwoods worry that natural or man-made disasters will disable emergency services of fire, police, and ambulance. If they're right, there will be a need for everyone to become self-reliant and help others.
You won't be able to pick up your phone and dial 911 and have the emergency technician show up to help you. So if you're sitting there waiting for the government to show up and take care of everything, you're going to be awful lonely. You're going to get awful hungry and awful thirsty.
When disaster threatens, the Kirkwoods advise activating a survival plan. And the first step is to have the necessary supplies at hand to counter the crisis. The Kirkwoods have modified the traditional earthquake kit into a grab-and-run bag designed to meet basic requirements.
The ideal of a grab-and-run kit is a kit of things that you'd want to have with you should emergency happen. The first thing is a first aid kit. You'll want to have a certain amount of water with you. You'll want the ability to start fires when you make a campfire. So it's a kit of those things you'd want to grab when you get in your car and flee your home.
As in the allegorical 3 days of darkness, during times of widespread destruction due to a breakdown of food distribution and essential services, urban areas may deteriorate into chaos. Byron's advice is to move into the country, away from dense population centers, and return to nature.
I recommend that people leave the city and move to a rural area where they can grow their own food, they can have their own source of water.
Living close to the land may require self-reliance, a return to the bicycle for transportation, the preserving and stockpiling of foods, the filtration of contaminated water.
If you have water, if you have food, if you have medical supplies, if you have tools, if you have gasoline, those will be the real money there for a while.
Being isolated in the country may also mean doing without doctors and medical services.
The first thing I suggest that everybody do immediately is take a first aid course, a first aid CPR course, because when these things happen, you want to be able to stop the bleeding. It may be you that somebody's taking care of, or it may be you taking care of a loved one or a complete stranger.
In any isolated rural existence, Byron cautions that one of the most fundamental problems will be locating food.
We'll be living off the land. We'll have to be growing our own food. We may have to hunt for meat again. Some of the people that are really going to be disappointed are the people that don't think this is going to happen, don't prepare, and sure enough it does, and they live through it.
One possible future scenario that concerns Byron is a series of massive volcanic eruptions releasing poisonous fumes into the air.
There'll be enough volcanic ash in the air that people will literally breathe the sulfur dioxide and keel over dead. You want to find an area in your house that you can seal off so that this gas won't get inside the house.
Byron speculates that an atmospheric layer of volcanic ash blocking out sunlight might offer one clue to the story of the 3 days of darkness.
You can have candles, but the winds are going to be strong. The candles may get blown over, blown out, or catch fire. The particular item that I picked to have a supply of during that time is chemical brake lights, because they don't use electricity, they don't have an open flame, they don't generate any heat.
Perhaps the most unbelievable effect of the 3 days of darkness involves what Byron feels will be a shift of the Earth's axis, a shift that will trigger a gravitational change.
There may be a time where the gravity will increase when the planet's rotating to the point that we may be actually forced to the floor, kind of like the acceleration experienced by jet pilots or astronauts. But you may actually want a supply of food near the floor, so if you can't physically get up, you've still got food on the floor.
Whatever the future may hold, Byron and his wife Annie plan to be a part of it. And if they can, they hope to help others weather any possible storms that lie ahead.
We've moved past our fear by doing those things to prepare, both physically and mentally and emotionally. And I found that when you do prepare, you do get past the fear.
So it shows the poles and the ice shifting to different parts of the globe. And it happened quickly. The so-called ice ages are thought to have happened, as I mentioned, over a long, long period of time. And yet it could not have happened that way. We have been lied to by the evolutionists who want us to believe one thing. Earth's crust slips all the time, we know. It has a molten core, and periodically, as planet Earth passes, has only done it once in the last 6,000 years. This shifts the poles to different areas of the world, according to these geologists, archaeologists, and astronomers. Glaciers don't just magically start moving up and down in the earth and create different poles. It all happens quickly because something caused the earth to shift suddenly. Gravitation is the only thing that can do it. All life where the poles, new poles, will settle, will quick freeze, just like it did in the Arctic and the Antarctic. It'll be quick. It'll happen suddenly. No one will be able to escape from it. To be exact, unless they have the seal of God in their forehead. On September 7th, the year 2001, a Reuters press in Europe came out with this article. Arctic may have been icy in ice, may not have been icy in the ice age. And they went on to show that international team of scientists have found all types of living creatures, including human beings. And tropical trees and that type thing in what they term the ice age, proving that it could not have been the ice age at that time. They lived there before Peleg's day, when the continents were divided, when the earth's land masses were split. You can look that up for yourself in the Strong's Concordance. It's easy. It means to split, and that's what happened in those days. The nearly 6,000-year-old Sumerian descriptions of our solar system includes one other planet, and that's called the 10th planet. And in their language, it was interpreted to mean the planet of the crossing. In other words, the description said that it would specifically cross our path and come between the sun and the earth. As it did that, then suddenly the earth would be connected more into the gravitational pull of this 10th planet. The earth would slow down for a short period of time, possibly up to 4 days if it takes that long for it to pass by. And then when that happens, the earth would practically stand still. It would begin to wobble. It would begin to shift. Things would change dramatically. Recent calculations by the United States Naval Observatory has confirmed the orbital irregularities that are being exhibited right now by Uranus and Neptune. They've seen it since the 1930s for Pluto. So they've been watching and searching for Planet X. To be exact, on January 18th, the year 2002, on the Discovery Channel, which I recorded, they said that they had been looking, the founder of Pluto had been looking for Planet X for all those years, and finally they found it and seen it. That's what we showed on our screen earlier from Newsweek magazine. But a Dr. Thomas C. Flandern, who's an astronomer at the observatory, he explained that this pulling on Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto is explained by a single planet. Something that is close to them now and causing them to wobble. He said that it's about 5 billion miles beyond Pluto. And what most of us don't know is that there is another sun that has died. It's called our sun's twin sun. This planet would actually orbit between the two suns, and it would go around our sun. The other sun was 50 billion miles away. I will show you right out of an encyclopedia a picture where they have this dead sun and the 10th planet in its orbit. And the very reason why we sent up telescopes exploring the far reaches of space, because they knew something was out there. They had to prepare for it, but keep it out of the public's understanding. Otherwise, there would be panic everywhere. In 1982, NASA recognized the existence of planet Earth. Here's what they said, and I quote, "An object is really there, far beyond the outermost planets," end of quote. So they knew it was there. It was coming. Then the New York Times, in June of 19th, 1982, said something out there beyond the furthest reaches of the known solar system is tugging at Uranus and Neptune. A gravitational force keeps perturbing or interrupting the two giant planets, causing irregularities in their orbits. The force suggests a presence far away and unseen, a large object, the sought-after Planet X, end of quote. And so they've now found it, because you see, that was 1982, before it came into view in the year 2001 as its orbit brings it toward planet Earth, away from the dead sun that it also orbits. And then one last little few sentences of that particular June 19th, 1982, New York Times said this: "There are mathematical irregularities in the orbits of the outer planets. Astronomers are so certain of this planet's existence that they've already named it Planet X, the 10th planet," end of quote. So it's there. The Bible seems to say it's there in all of these prophecies so far, and I will get to a couple of others. There were other headlines in December of 1983, on December 30th, and it was talking about the infrared astronomical satellite that was sent out to look into the universe to try to find Planet X. 1 year later, according to this particular article, in 1983, the newly launched infrared astronomical satellite quickly found Planet X. After it found it, that was recorded in the Washington Post, all of a sudden, silence came down over the astronomical community. You couldn't report on it. To be exact, one of those at NASA, one of those doctors, astronomers, scientists, who wanted to go public with it, was found suddenly dead in a strange accident, because it would have created chaos the world over. The Washington Post said this, and I quote, "A heavenly body as large as Jupiter and part of the solar system has been found in the direction of the constellation of Orion by an orbiting telescope," end of quote. Why have we never been able to see a direct transmission from the Hubble telescope? They're blacked out. Nobody can receive a direct transmission, not over satellite. NASA will never put it on, because they're watching. They know something is coming. They've spotted it. They've now made it public. They said it's a planet. But here are some of the other headlines that appeared early. Mystery body found in space. Then another one said, giant object mystifies astronomers. Then another said, at solar system's edge, giant object is a mystery. Then yet another headline said this: when IRAS, that's your infrared astronomical satellite, scientists first saw the mystery body. So they saw it. They calculated that it could be as close as 50 billion miles and moving toward Earth. That's very sobering. No wonder they shut down and made a blackout in the media of anything to do with the possibility of this particular planet that's coming this way. There must still be a large planet undiscovered. Now we've seen it. We have pictures of it. Because Pluto could not be the cause of these wobbles in the other two planets, Neptune and Jupiter. They're too large. They would affect Pluto instead of the other way around. So the infrared astronomical satellite during 1983 and 1984 produced observations of a 10th planet. They said so in the newspaper. These were so robust of pictures that they actually said all that it remains is for us to give it a name. That was all that was left, just to name it. Then all of a sudden, the information curtain came down. And nothing was discussed anymore. In 1992, Harrington of NASA and Van Flandren, of the Naval Observatory, not NASA, they were working with all the information that they had at hand. They published their findings and their opinions that there was indeed a 10th planet, and they called it an intruder planet. Why is this important? It's an intruder planet. What effects will this intrusion by the 10th planet, when it passes by planet Earth, have upon us? What does the Bible say that it will have? Does the Bible actually say that it will be a planet? Well, it says there will be heavenly signs. God just didn't go into detail and name it for us. But notice what it says in Isaiah chapter 24. Very interesting. Isaiah 24, I'll start in verse 1 to 6. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste and turns it upside down. Isn't that interesting? Because scientists say, archaeologists, astronomers say that at one time when this planet went by so many thousands of years ago and it shifted the poles, it flipped the earth. It turned it upside down. And here it is, biblical terminology that was written so long ago by a man that said, I don't have clean lips. My lips are unclean. I'm not worthy to relay this information to those that are living in the 20th and 21st century. And scatters abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with a people, so with a priest. So it's going to happen to every single person on earth. Everyone is going to be affected by it. It does not matter who you are, whether you're rich, whether you're poor. Verse 3, the land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. When you put that with Isaiah 6, you'll find 10% will return. All will not die, but there will be a great population reduction. The Bible talked about it. Verse 4, the earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. In other words, all the systems are breaking down because when this planet comes by, the gravitational pull is not going to be the sun anymore that's going to keep us directly in our orbit, but it's going to pull at the land masses of planet Earth. Oceans will see new land masses rising. Some land masses that we know today where millions live will sink. There is this ring around the Earth of activity called the Ring of Fire, volcanic activity, earthquakes that connect all over the world. So everything the Bible says is scientific, and we're just now discovering it. And God said in Amos 3:7, as I mentioned to start out with, He will do nothing unless He reveals it to His servants, the prophets. we're now seeing another revelation as to what is going to happen to this planet and this world that should drive home why we should make sure we pray always and ask God to account us to be worthy to escape all these things. He says in verse 5, "The earth also is defiled or polluted under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse, and the curse is always concerning death." Because in reference to Jesus, it says, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree," and Jesus died for our sins. "Yes, the curse or death has devoured the earth, and they shall dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." What happens when the gravitational pull is going to come? And the volcanic activity comes, not from one place, but what about 140 at the same time? All those extinct volcanoes erupting at once because of the shift to the land masses? Yes, let's drop down in the same chapter to verse 18. Verse 20. "It shall come to pass that he who flees," yes, this is going to be such a dangerous time, every person on earth is going to be scrambling to find a place of safety. But only one group is going to find it, and God will supernaturally reveal that to them. "That he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that comes up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake." How do they shake? Because an intruding planet comes by between the gravitational pull of the planet and sun and the sun. So our planet will temporarily be taken over by the gravitational pull of this 10th planet. I'll give you the size of it in a minute. "For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake." How do they shake? Because an intruding planet comes by between the gravitational pull of the planet and sun and the sun. So our planet will temporarily be taken over by the gravitational pull of this 10th planet. I'll give you the size of it in a minute, according to projections of the scientists, astronomers. Verse 19, "The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved." Yes, you could call magma coming out of all this volcanic activity dissolving the earth, everything that it crosses over. "The earth is moved exceedingly." Amazing. Exactly what's happening to Jupiter, Pluto, and Neptune right now. And it's going to happen to our planet. Look at verse 20. "The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again." When's this going to be, though? How do we know this is a time setting for us today? Well, verse 21 to 23 proves it when you compare it to other scriptures in the Bible. "And it shall come to pass in that day," when this time comes for it to happen, "that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth." When's he going to do that? At his return, Revelation 20. "And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and he shall shut up in the prison. After many days shall they be visited." This is talking about the demons. The fallen angels are going to be placed in the abyss for 1,000 years, and after many days they'll be released again. Then verse 23, "Then the moon shall be confounded, the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously." So the time setting will have to be for Jesus Christ to return to restore all things because of the passing of this planet. God is very scientific. He knows exactly what He's doing and what He's saying. Yes, in August of 1988, a report by Dr. Robert S. Harrington of the U.S. Naval Laboratory calculated that the mass is probably four times that of Earth. That's large. Planet X is either four or five times larger than Earth. It's 20 to 25 times Earth's mass, and nearly 100 times as dense as planet Earth. So that means the gravitational pull will be extraordinary when the time comes. He has stated that it's a slow, smoldering brown dwarf. That's what they call it in the astronomical community. When Planet X passes between Earth and the Sun, Earth will align with Planet X's strong magnetic or gravitational pull temporarily, instead of the Sun's, because it will be the greatest influence. For a short while, Planet X will be Earth's strongest influence, and therefore Earth's rotation will then pause for a few days. When it does this, it will begin to wobble. It will begin to go off its axis. And this is what the Bible that we just read talks about. This isn't ancient mythology. This is scientific. Planet X orbit takes it back and forth between two suns, as I've already mentioned. The other sun orbits around, or this planet X orbits around the other sun. Then it starts back toward planet Earth and our sun. There's a brown dwarf star that orbits both our suns, and this is planet X. Instead of just one of them, it goes around both. It's the only one that does. All other planets go around our sun.
Isaiah 33, verses 12 to 14 says, "The people shall be like the burnings of lime, like thorns cut up. They shall be burned in the fire. Hear, you who are far off, what I have done, and you who are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" This is how it will be for you who are unconverted if you continue in your unbelief.
I'm John DiNardo for Planet X in Bible Prophecy. Your help is needed to warn of disastrous windstorms and floods, catastrophic earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, which God is bringing upon the world in order to shock people to open their hearts to God, our Savior, Yahshua Jesus. Please write to me at Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T-O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082. I would be happy to hear from you. Planet X, P.O. Box 422, Towaco, T as in Tom, O-W-A-C-O, New Jersey, 07082.